This is a special episode of The Dark State recorded in conjunction with Subbrief. I am John Mooney, the host of The Dark State podcast, and it's my pleasure to speak with Aaron Amick of Subbrief. Russian submarines are operating in the seas off the west coast of Ireland. Some are discreetly passing through Irish waters, but others are gathering intelligence. What is the Russian Navy's interest in Ireland? Today's programme examines the threat posed by Russian submarines to both Irish and European communications. I'm John Mooney. Welcome to The Dark State. The Dark State is a podcast which examines the security threats facing Ireland and Europe. You can subscribe to the podcast by visiting patreon.com/thedarkstate. Please do subscribe. I am joined today by Aaron Amick, who is a retired US Navy submarine sonar man with over 20 years experience. Aaron was deployed on both class attack and class ballistic missile submarines in the Atlantic during and after the Cold War. Aaron, welcome to The Dark State.
Thank you, John.
Aaron, can you introduce yourself and tell me about your career? How did you become a submariner?
I joined the United States Navy in 1990, and I served for two decades, the 90s and the 2000s. While in the Navy, I served on board 688 class fast attack submarines, collecting maritime intelligence and other missions around the globe in the Atlantic and the Pacific. I also served on 726 class ballistic missile submarines, commonly called Trident submarines, in the American Navy. I ended my career as an instructor and evaluator for the new SSGN combat certification program, certifying those crews in the new submarines so they could go and do their missions around the globe. So some of the places that I've been in my time in the Navy have been off the coast of the former Soviet Union. I was off the coast during the collapse of the Soviet Union, which was quite an interesting time in my career. But I've also served in multiple operations in the South Atlantic and Pacific, conducting drug operations, intelligence gathering in the Western Pacific, and operations continuously against the now Russian Federation for two decades.
Aaron, you've mentioned that your part of your career was spent in the Atlantic on submarines, targeting or confronting the threat posed by Russian submarines. Can you talk to me about the work that you were involved in?
Yes, we were involved in observing and maintaining track of high-value submarines. High-value submarines are often the ballistic missile submarines of the Russian Federation. They commonly operate in the Arctic Circle under the ice pack because they have the ability to surface, move the ice out of the way, and conduct their strikes anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere from that location. So we would spend a lot of time under the ice or near the marginal ice zone observing their operations, keeping an eye on them. When we weren't doing that, we would often follow them from their ports, whether it's in Severninsk, up in the northern Kola Peninsula, or even through St. Petersburg coming out of the Baltic Sea into the Atlantic, and we would just see what they were up to. Because oftentimes, especially after the collapse of the Soviet Union, they didn't deploy very often, but when they did, it was usually something very important to Russia, so we wanted to see what they were doing. We tracked their movements all around the northern Atlantic, including off the coast of the United States and United Kingdom and Ireland.
Was the presence of Russian submarines off the west coast of Ireland, was that a frequent event?
It was only frequent in the sense of transiting from point A to point B, with a few exceptions of when they would stop to collect intelligence. Now, the neutrality of Ireland and the lack of a strong anti-submarine warfare force made Ireland a prime vulnerable target for submarines, as the Russian submarines could operate off the west coast of Ireland and even the UK to some extent, with limited vulnerability to themselves, because there was really no one capable of looking for them unless the Americans were in the area, which typically we were, or the United Kingdom was sending out somebody to come and take a look at them. So while I would not call it frequent or regular, it did happen. and we kept an eye on them when they were there. Part of the reason why they would be interested in Ireland is the subsea communication cables that run across the Atlantic. Many of them stop by Ireland first before they continue on to the UK and Europe. So those types of cables that hold that type of communication are always of interest to foreign nations. And Russia has a particular interest in collecting subsea communications to the point to where they build specific submarines that are capable of detecting and measuring and de-encrypting those communications on a full-time basis.
How would a Russian submarine intercept communications that has been transmitted to the U.S.?
Russia built Project 09787, which is a Delta IV ballistic missile submarine originally designed to shoot intercontinental ballistic missiles. But this project took one of those hulls, hull number 64, and turned it into what we call in the NATO nations Delta IV Stretch. Delta IV Stretch is essentially a mothership submarine that has a bay in the bottom of it with a dock where a second midget submarine can dock to the belly of this submarine. These two submarines come together and they go out usually into the Norwegian Sea, but they can go as far as they want because they're nuclear powered and collect information. The second midget submarine is called Low Shark. Low Shark and another midget submarine called Paltus can both dock to this Yankee Stretch and be carried around the Atlantic collecting information. Now, the way this works is like this. The Delta IV marries with the mini submarine in port and goes to sea. And very slowly, at a very slow pace, goes to her destination. They then, once on station, will send a crew from inside the larger submarine to the mini sub and then undock that submarine. That submarine will not have any tether or physical connection to the mother sub at that point, and it will independently steam itself around looking for these subsea cables. Normally, these subsea cables have already been detected by other means, but once they're in the area, they need to kind of find them again. And then they will place devices, electromagnetic boxes, essentially, on the cable or near the cable, detecting the data transmission that's going through the cable. And these are very sensitive devices that can detect those little electromagnetic pulses that are being transmitted through the cable from one continent to another. That box records those pulses. That box is then picked back up and brought back to the mothership, where a crew inside the mother submarine can listen to the recordings and decode them, de-encrypt them, and collect the intelligence. And that's kind of a brief overview of how these submarines work together to collect information from subsea cables off the coast of Europe.
Why is the Russian Navy so interested in the data that flows between Ireland and the United States along these undersea cables?
The undersea cables are extremely important for military and civilian communication, and that's why Russia is interested in these cables. Anytime we encrypt an email at a military base and send instructions and orders to our friends and allies in Europe, you know, they have to go through these cables. And some of these cables go through Ireland to get to other destinations. And so that is why Russia has spent so much time and effort and energy into deploying these specific special mission submarines like the Delta Stretch to tap these cables and listen to our instructions and our messages and kind of sift through the background clutter to find that little gem that they need so that Russia can have a tactical advantage in whatever comes next.
And from an Irish perspective, these cables are absolutely critical to the Irish economy because we've all the major tech companies headquartered in Dublin. So there's a big economic threat to Ireland if anything was to happen, one of these cables.
Absolutely. The economic impact cannot be understated. You really want to protect that data because it's the livelihood of a large part of the Ireland economy.
Aaron, can you tell the listeners why Russian submarines would purposely enter Irish waters and loiter there?
They would do that to collect intelligence. So they would either operate off the coast of Ireland to transmit information and messages to operatives operating in Ireland and receive messages from them, also to collect intelligence from radio transmissions, say from embassies or even police radio transmissions, maritime radio transmissions, just to see if they've been detected, to see how much Ireland knows about their current operation and perhaps any response. They may even intentionally trigger a response to observe how Ireland would respond to the detection of a Russian submarine in their fisheries or their fishing areas.
Aaron, I don't know whether you're permitted to, but can you discuss any specific operation in general terms that you participated in, which would involve a Russian submarine operating off the west coast of Ireland?
I'm certainly not allowed to talk about specifics, that's for certain. But I can tell you that I've been in the area multiple times, and I have tracked submarines past your nation in the 90s and 2000s.
And these would be Russian vessels operating secretly.
Russian nuclear and diesel boats.
I don't believe Ireland has the ability to track submarine movements or monitor submarines in Irish territorial waters. Is that correct?
You're not able to detect them with the technology and equipment you have now. The only way you're going to detect submarines is if you get assistance from the maritime aircraft from the United Kingdom or the United States or other ASW assets. Ireland does not have an anti-submarine warfare force, whether in their Navy or in their Air Force. And so without those sensors, you simply cannot detect these submarines.
And is that one of the reasons why Russian submarines are drawn towards Irish waters?
Exactly. In terms of security, we have something called soft targets. Targets that are easier to penetrate than reinforced, heavily defended targets. Ireland, from a submarine point of view, is a soft target.
Is Russia's submarine navy increasing its activities in Irish waters?
There is a regular transit of submarines now. We're seeing after 2010 and under the reign of President Putin in Russia, a regular transit of submarines from the Northern Fleet into the Atlantic, and they have to go by Ireland to get there. There's also a major base in St. Petersburg, Russia, where they're coming out through the Baltic Sea and then into the Mediterranean, and in that case, transiting again. As they transit near land locations like Iceland and Ireland and the UK, they can easily take a moment to collect some radio intelligence at periscope depth, and that is probably being done, and then continuing on their way. The actual collection of intelligence via the submarine cables is not well enough documented to have a pattern yet. So I simply don't know. But it does happen. It's just not regular.
When you say intercept radio communications, is that radio communications from Russian embassies or Russian operatives that are working through in the European Union? Or is it, you know, are there radio waves from communications systems much further away? The reason why I ask that, we've had a number of incidents in recent years where Russian military aircraft travel along the west coast of Ireland with their radar transponder switched off. And some of these craft have been documented as being used solely for the purpose of communicating with submarines over long distances. So do you have any thoughts or opinions on that?
Yeah, it's very common for the submarines at periscope depth to communicate with satellites, embassies, and aircraft to collect their normal message traffic. But they also can take that opportunity to receive communication from various sources, including the ones that you've mentioned in Ireland, being the agents of opportunity communicating, not using normal methods of communication to communicate with Russia. They could perhaps use these aircraft or the submarines to carry their message to another location where it has been retransmitted. It's a very interesting point you brought up with the aircraft flying overhead without their transponders on. That is specifically for communication with other assets in the area. One of those assets would be a submarine. So that is something that should be observed and see what kind of pattern they're using. because that could be a tell to perhaps submarine activity in your area.
I know one recent incident involved a Russian aircraft that flew in circles around the southwest coast off the coast of County Kerry in Ireland. And it spent, I think it was 4 to 5 hours flying around in circles with a huge antennae rolled out behind it. That would, in your opinion, suggest that it was communicating with a Russian submarine that was in active in that area. Is that correct?
Yeah, that long antenna has a very long range of transmission. So the submarine that it's communicating with could be in a large geographical area that would include off the coast of Ireland, but not specific to that or not only to that. Yeah, the Bear Foxtrot is a very specific aircraft, if that's what was doing the racetrack pattern off the southwest coast of Ireland. That is specific for maritime operations, communication with submarines. And so it's highly likely that that's what was happening during that flight.
Do these submarines ever get into trouble in the Atlantic? Do they ever run into difficulties and require assistance or rescue? Or are they more than capable of operating there for quite long tours of duty?
In the past, during the Cold War and even into the early 1990s, the Russian submarines had a high reliability problem where they would often deploy with a repair ship in the vicinity. And so that made our job a little bit easier to just track the repair ship. And we knew that within, say, a few hundred miles, there was probably a submarine, you know, around. They would often pull into Cuba whenever they had problems in the Atlantic. That was kind of their home base in an emergency if they couldn't fix it at sea. But recently, in the last, I'll say, 10 years or even a little longer, they've had a much higher reliability with their nuclear submarines where they don't have to do that. They don't need to deploy with the repair ships. They can operate independently now, which makes our job, from the NATO perspective, much more difficult. Have to, you know, track them from original point, you know, from their home port to their deployment zone, monitor them while they're on deployment, which can be over a month at times, and then back home again, just if we want to maintain continuous track.
Aaron, can you tell the listeners about the operations that Russian submarines are involved in the North Atlantic and especially off the west coast of Ireland?
Yeah, it's really changed over the past couple decades since the rise of President Putin and his re-election and his near continuous rule in Russia. The priorities for the Russian Navy have become more aggressive and have changed since the collapse of the Soviet Union. And this means that there is routinely a more aggressive deployment schedule for the attack submarines to come out of the Northern Fleet and into the Northern Atlantic like they did in the 60s and 70s. And so they're trying to regain that pride that the Northern Fleet had back in those days. It's used as a great propaganda tool in Russia, and they're continuing to escalate those deployments regularly. And so as they do these, they have to go by Ireland to get to the North Atlantic. So you're seeing a more consistent rate of passage and travel of these nuclear and diesel submarines from Russia past your country.
Do you believe the Russian Navy is developing an increased interest in Ireland because we're a landing point for subsea cables traveling between Europe and the United States?
That is a great point. Your neutrality, in a way, is being used against you in that it's a little bit easier for these agents, these operators, to enter and exist in your nation because you're outside the NATO sphere, but you're still inside the communication hub. You're actually a primary point of communication between the United States and Europe in general. Many subsea cables that carry this valuable information, valuable to Russia, go through a lot of your Western cities, your Western seaports. And so I think that it's important that Ireland is aware that they have become a landing point, as you say, for these operators to, you know, conduct their business in your country.
Subsea cables are part of our national infrastructure now, and they're also vital communication routes between Europe and North America. Can you explain the specific threat which Russian submarines pose to these cables? Could they damage them, or do they simply want to spy on them, to collect data from them?
Right. So there's two missions that the Russian Navy conducts with subsea cables. The first and most common that I've seen firsthand is information collection. They simply find the cable, they place a recording device on the cable, physically touching the cable, and record the data as it goes through it. With today's technology, it doesn't have to be removed. They can leave that device in place anywhere along this cable, along the seafloor, and it can transmit the data to a receiver nearby, and they just continuously collect the information. That is the primary goal, especially in peacetime. But they have the capability, and they practice this, moving the cables around with their Low Shark and Poltus mini subs. And during that operation, they also have tools on these miniature submarines to cut the cables. So they can move the cables, they can cut the cables, damage the cables, let the cables flood out. Sometimes these cables will flood out on their own, so they could sabotage a cable in a way to appear as if it naturally flooded on its own, cutting the communication. And then finally, if they needed to, they could simply plant a device that severs the cable on command. And that would typically be an explosion.
Have those sort of incidents happened in the past? During your career, did you encounter incidents like that?
Absolutely. I monitored the Poltus moving cables away from their original location, you know, yards away, you know, just enough to be not in the same location anymore, off the coast of Norway. And the way we, you know, deal with that is we know exactly where the cable was. We're watching the submarine from afar do its thing. And then after they're done, we go back in and verify the new location of the cable. So moving these cables is something that they practice doing. They pick them up and move them around just to, you know, complicate our lives. And it's just a low level of, you know, information warfare, I would say, is their goal whenever they do things like that.
Why would Russia move undersea cables from one location to another using a submarine?
Well, the submarine would be the best tool to do that. The moving of the cable, while is an annoyance, and it is petty, as you say, it is good practice for those remote operators that use those mechanical arms and cutting devices to practice manipulating the cable. It's giving the operator real-world experience, which is very important, should they ever be tasked to go out in wartime and sever that cable. They would already have experience manipulating it. The second thing is by moving the cable, if something ever did happen to the cable where it was needed repair, and if we went to that cable and it wasn't where we thought it was, we would spend time and money trying to find it again. Now, granted, they don't move these cables very far, so it wouldn't be that much of an annoyance, but it's more about getting experience and demonstrating their ability to us that they can do these things.
What is Russia's strategic interest in the North Atlantic?
Yeah, the strategic interest is simply the ability to isolate Western Europe from the United States in terms of resupply. Going back to the Cold War, if the Soviet Union had wanted to unify Europe under their union, they would find an easier job of that if the United States was not involved in reinforcing France and Germany via the Atlantic. So it's more of a, you know, battle of supply and logistics to expand their control over the region. Now, in today's world, it is unlikely that that sort of conflict would come to pass right now. So they're, in 2021, the objective of the Atlantic battle, the Atlantic submarine cat and mouse fights that are going on as we speak, is propaganda. If they can gain an upper hand and restore the pride they had during the Cold War by confronting the United States in the North Atlantic, they could use that as propaganda for increasing the popularity of their rule of government in Russia.
What way does NATO monitor Russian submarine movements in the North Atlantic and in Irish waters? Is that done through other submarines monitoring their activities, or is it some other system that's used?
I have to be careful about talking about methods and means here, but I will generally describe to you the process. And it really is a collection of events that have to occur to help us track these submarines. Because once you lose a submarine at sea, it can be very difficult to find it again. So tracking the submarine really begins before it leaves port. We go out of our way to collect intelligence on schedules and deployments and who's getting the fresh food right before a deployment. Because one of the key indicators for a submarine deployment is a sudden increase in food supply and fresh anything, fresh vegetables and fruits and stuff. That's just one indication. We use multiple indicators like that to see who is getting prepared to go to sea soon. And there's dozens of other techniques we use that we won't go into. So once we have an idea of who's going to sea, we then begin to see what assets do we have available in that region to keep an eye on that target of interest, being a submarine. And we usually have something, whether it's aircraft or another submarine. We'll get them in position, and once that submarine goes to sea, as expected, we will begin to monitor its operations through our assets in the area, combination of satellite, maritime, subsea tracking, and SOSIS, which is the hydrophones in the Atlantic, listening long distances to low frequencies. We monitor their trail, whether they go into the Arctic for their ballistic missile patrol, which is very common, or into the Norwegian Sea, past Ireland and into the North Atlantic for some sort of provocative action off the coast of the United States, or simply transiting into the Mediterranean, which is not provocative as they have assets and bases in the Black Sea. So it is really a marriage of multiple agencies and maritime assets working together to track these submarines. And a submarine, like what I was on, is simply a very small part of that.
Why is the Kremlin so keen on maintaining a submarine presence in the North Atlantic? Does it see the presence of submarines right across the Atlantic Ocean as a projection of its power? Is that what drives this?
Submarines really are just an extension of their political will or power to push against Western influences into, you know, European and Asian culture. So by having submarines at sea, you know, in the vicinity of American, you know, high value units, whether it's a shipping lane or even a port, and they operate off the coast of Norfolk, Connecticut, and Georgia all the time, which are the east coast of the United States, by having an asset in that area, they imply a repercussion if you do not agree with their political decisions. So it is simply an extension of propaganda enforcement on outside forces. And in my example, I use the United States as that I am most familiar with.
Aaron, you've been so good with your time. I would like to thank you on behalf of all the listeners for your exceptional insight into this issue. Thank you very much for joining us on The Dark State.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to The Dark State, and please tune in next week for another episode.